future moment. It must for the me who actually lives in the flesh and who lives among the others in flesh who make up the moments of my life. If it is not for that me and that you, the gospel will in fact be lost as another snake oil, which may have its buyers, but will not be finally satisfying. Where is the doctrine of creation? I speak especially now to my students and to you pastors. When I teach the course God and Creation, I do it specifically with my student in mind who's going to be a pastor. Because I take as the start of my own understanding of the pastoral office Paul's letter to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and following, where Paul talks about all things being made new, creation. Since it is from God, all things which are new, are from God who reconciles the world unto himself and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The place wherein the concrete life of human beings are laid bare as configurations of God's own will and command, and as the place where he wishes to bestow his benefits upon humankind. That is the function of the sermon. You may not have the privilege of speaking sermons which are simply abstractions and doctrinal treatises, however true they may be. Not if your sermon is to be a moment of the creation from nothing, whereby that which is without merit and worthiness in itself, has nothing of its own, is yet to be given the word of God, which creates it anew as the one who hears that word and the life then given in it as the place for faith and hope and charity. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Weinrich. And I think you can add another of Luther's great works to your must-reading list, De Servo Arbitrio, which Dr. Ossendorf also referred to, and The Great Confession, because both of those too, I think, especially on the will of God, and that it is a divine term, therefore unacceptable free will as far as man is concerned. It belongs only to the Creator, was nicely emphasized by Professor Weinrich. He's agreed to take two questions, and that discussion comes tomorrow. I believe he's on the panel as well, so let's limit it to two. Number one.
I see here a problem that's presented by the NIV Concordia edition. On Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, verse 22, and chapter 8, verse 7, you have what appears to be a creation performed by human magicians of Pharaoh, turning their rods into snakes, creating blood and creating forms. Yet we confess that God is the only creator of all things visible and invisible. The footnote in the edition says that either this was by sleight of hand or by means of demonic power, and Satan can create nothing. He can take the good creation of God and twist it out of shape and abuse it, including human beings, but he cannot create. He is not creator. The problem also that I see is that the second interpretation was taken by a recent study of the Concordia Sunday School series, in which they assumed that the magicians of Pharaoh did this by demonic power, which to me is inconsistent with the principle that God alone is creator.
Would you stay at the, sir? I'm not quite sure I see the problem. Now, it just may be that it's me. Would you state me in one sentence or so what the problem is in the Christian?
That only God creates. Satan does not create. And therefore, magicians cannot get any power from Satan to do any creating, either of frogs or blood or snakes or anything else.
Okay. Before I just respond, I do just want to say that I take two questions in honor of the two natures of Christ. It is just, however, we had a few moments before we have a break, and I did not want a large question-answer period, which, very frankly, we should share also with my good friend and Dr. Ozendorf. Let me just then briefly respond to this. Certainly, I would agree with you. God alone creates from nothing. And if this may be overly simple, but I take that to be the basic necessary datum upon which all other aspects must be interpreted. Hence, no magician creates from nothing. And it must be understood as a demonic delusion or some other thing. But keep in mind that they disappear soon enough.
What is the Hebrew para for a software?
I doubt seriously. He asked you what the Hebrew was and whether it was bara. I doubt that very much, because that God is, in fact, I know that's not so, because God is always the subject of bara. I don't know what the Hebrew is. I doubt if it makes any difference. Martin.
Pastor Martin Noland, Christ Oak Park, Illinois. You mentioned that in the Platonic and the classical worldview, that individual being was viewed as tragic and as a negative thing. What would be your evaluation of Plotinus's doctrine of emanation, which seems to me to give a positive view of individual being because there is a necessary plenitude of the body of the world that results in this individual being? Therefore, you cannot say that any particular being is non-meaningful. And in light of that, is it possible that figures such as Tatian and Theophilus were formulating this against this positive view of Plotinus and the Neoplatonists? Creatio ex nihilo versus creatio ex emanatio.
It's certainly not true that they were responding to Plotinus, who lives after them. And keep in mind that the Middle Platonism of the second century, against which they certainly were responding, did not have a pessimistic view of particular being in the sense that it was negative. It was, in fact, often thought to be a reflection of the divine ideal, which is itself eternal. My point is, and I think I'd still I'd have to take another look at Plotinus, because there are some different things going on in him. But I think it perhaps is true there too. Particular existence has no intrinsic being and significance in itself, apart from its place in an ordered whole. For Platonism, certainly, it is a shadow and has no substance. I think it was the point, and I've tried to make that point, of people like Theophilus and Irenaeus to say that the particular existing things are those houses, if you will, in which God places his own purpose, especially as regards the human person. The effluence of a Neoplatonic particular is, in any case, part of a gradation of existence that can easily pass out of nothing and into nothing.